So it rubs everybody the wrong way. So when he got busted for having pot shipped to his dog, first of all,
his dog's got a bong. He's like Ted. Maybe he's a stuffed animal.
Well, you know what the irony is? He's making a rehab a stint at Lake County Class A, which is just hilarious that Chris Perez had to go to rehab.
Yep. That rehab. I hear you. Hey, let me.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know what? I was sitting here pulling the Indians' stats up. Hey, let's before we get into him, let's just talk about the nature of the Indians since you're working the game today. And oh, by the way, we got a ton of listeners.
Yeah.
From the D.C. area, so we're talking about the Nats too. Tell me what you saw yesterday. You were lucky enough to see Anthony Rendon hit his first bomb yesterday, right? I mean,
and
Mullet.
I see two very evenly matched teams. When you talk about the Stanley Cup, you're actually seeing this in baseball here. Two evenly matched teams where, but the difference is the Nationals have pitching, the Indians have the offense.
Yeah.
And two nights ago, it was the pitching. Is it really? Gio Gonzalez and Justin Masterson were fantastic. And then last night, Jordan Zimmermann and Scott Kasper looked like they'd never stepped on a baseball field.
Yeah, and you know, that was only the second game all year that Jordan struggled a little bit. But you know, it was 5-1. I mean, I got Twitter. I'm coaching third base in a college wooden bat team in the D.C. area. We're up 3-1, and we give up a three-run double in the bottom of the eighth inning, and we lose 5-3. But during all of that, I managed to kind of follow the game and see what the score was of the Nats game. And when it was 5-1, I just figured it's another Zimmermann win. He's going to make the All-Star team because not the Nats aren't going to have a handful of players make it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to have Jordan Zimmermann, and maybe that's it. You know, they better not. I'm going to make sure nobody picks. And you know what?
I got to tell you, I was looking at Jason Worth. He signed that huge contract. He seems like a guy who almost looks aloof out there. Like, ever since he signed the contract with Washington, he just hasn't been the same player. I don't think he's ever been really the same player.
Worth he's been is hurt out there a lot,
just lollygagging.
Yeah, you know, last year, if you remember, he made a diving catch and he broke his wrist that had been broken before, like 4 years earlier. And he was out, I swear, he was out 3 months. I mean, he was out, I swear, June, July, August. You know when he came back? He came back and, to his credit, had a great run in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that was really all we've seen of all of that money that we spent.
Yeah.
It was right then. We haven't seen it this year. He's been injured this year. Mm-hmm. You know, the only good news, and Bryce Harper, of course, is injured. He runs into a wall, a scoreboard so hard that he's still out. You know, they feel that they're very lucky that he didn't tear an ACL or an MCL or something like that. But he will be back in a couple of weeks probably and be ready to play. But I'm looking at the Indians. A couple of guys stand out to me here. One is Bourne. You know, you and I talked about him when the season started. We both weren't real high on him. They paid him a lot of money. He was kind of the last outfielder that was a free agent taken. The thing I noticed about Bourne, though, is in 177 official at-bats, he's only got 10 walks. He swings at everything. Now, if he's not...
Yeah, and that's what it is. He's been a guy that... you and I talked about this a couple months ago, but a lot of people are surprised by his strikeout rate. He strikes out a lot. He's still hitting around 300, but he's a guy who can really rack up the strikeouts, something you don't see... or you shouldn't see from a leadoff guy, a contact hitter, the guy to get on base.
Right.
And I saw this from Kenny Lofton back in about 2000 when he slowly was not the leadoff hitter, the prototypical leadoff hitter that the Indians used to have.
Yeah.
It was a guy who was trying to swing for power. Now, Michael Bourne doesn't have the power.
Right.
He's a guy who should get on base, but it's just not but the strikeouts are a problem because you need him to get on base or at least put the ball in play. He hasn't been doing that as the frequency that he had when he was in Philadelphia, when he was in Houston, and Atlanta.
Tony, it's not just Bourne that's got the problem. You have seven guys on pace to strike out well over 100 times this season. And that's just not...
Well, Mark Reynolds. Oh my
no, but he's just one of them. I mean, if you look at the statistics for them, Carlos Santana, even though he's got 50 strikeouts, 62 for Kipnis.
He plays a hell of a guitar, though.
54 for a shortstop, Cabrera, and Stubbs has got 70. Mark Reynolds is going to strike out 150 times. But if you're lucky, Mark Reynolds will probably get you 80 runs scored and maybe 100 RBIs. Tony, can you hang for us for another segment so we can get into this good stuff? And I want to talk a little bit.
I actually can't. I got to head into the game right now.
Okay.
I figured I'd give a quick preview. Here.
No, I really do. Tell us what you think real quick. What's going to be the final score today? My producer's looking at me like he's going to throw something at me.
I've got the Nationals winning because I see Strasburg coming in there, and he's going to start fresh. And I think that it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be maybe like a 4-3 game, and Strasburg gets the win. Probably pitches about 6 innings.
You got it, buddy. All right, hey, Tony, that's Tony Mazur with WKRK.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Tony. How does somebody follow you on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, at Tony Mazur on Twitter.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
That's Tony Mazur. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS. When I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same old story. From
we're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back, New York, here on this Father's Day Sunday of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Thanks for Tony Mazur for calling in and wishing us a happy
Tony's
Father's
great.
Day.
Tony's great. He's going to the Indian Nats game. You know, if we were in Cleveland, that's exactly where we'd be.
Yeah.
Because I certainly wouldn't be in my hotel room. I can't sleep past 5:30 in a hotel for some reason.
Well, you got to think of Cleveland. As much as I love Tony Mazur, when a river catches on fire, it's probably not the greatest city on the world.
Yeah, and when girls are being plucked off the streets and kept as slaves,
no,
that's not good
I'm
either.
I'm just joking.
Of course, that can happen anywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's happening here in D.C. too. I mean, we just don't know about
but,
it yet.
Nationals, Cleveland, Indians. That's going to be a good game. Strasburg, although he hasn't really been Strasburg this year.
No, but you know what?
He's getting there.
Yeah, he had a lot better outing the last couple of times. He looks like he's just a little bit – he slowed the game down.
Yeah.
He was pitching too fast. I mean, you know, the thing about Stras is when he overthrows, he really misses his spots. So if he throws a fastball down the middle, it's a home run. If he doesn't throw it anywhere near the plate, he walks batters. And you know what? I think he's going to be fine. As long as that arm holds up. Jordan Zimmerman, I'm a little worried about. I mean, but Cleveland is a good hitting team. I mean, you know, all he had to do was miss a few spots in that game yesterday, and they ended up losing the game.
Yeah, see, Jordan Zimmerman hasn't been one that you've really had to worry about this year. He's one of the ones that's in contention to possibly start for the NL. At least you wouldn't have been able to tell that watching him last night.
They got a good start out of Ohlendorf, who they brought up.
Yeah. Mr. Old School Windup. I like that.
Yeah, I do too. I like it a lot. We may have Chris Johnson on in a little while. CJ's big golfer, has his own radio show and a golf show, and hopefully we'll have him on in a little while.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to talk a lot of baseball here
today
because we're getting it. You know, it's been 2 weeks since Roy and I have been together, and we got some baseball catching up to do, let you know how the leagues are doing. It's also mini camps are pretty much over. I mean, if they're not done, they're getting ready to be done this week. And the nice thing about that is it's almost football season.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the NFL season literally is almost on top of us. It won't be, what, 4.5-5 weeks, and we'll have preseason games.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it is. I mean, well, time flies, and the older you get, the more stuff you have to do, and that just seems to me to be kind of the problem with all of this. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's talk a little bit about the U.S. Open.
Okay.
And about what we've seen, because it is U.S. Open Sunday. It's
it
Phil Mickelson's birthday. God, I hope I get to see his wife, because I haven't seen her in so long. She was always everywhere near him. Then she had breast cancer, and you know, and she survived breast cancer, and she's doing quite well from what I understand. And his kids are getting big. Jeez, I mean, you know, they just keep getting bigger and bigger. But I got to tell you, I mean, Rodney Dangerfield just pulled in the front door. Matt, can you get that? It's Rodney. So, but anyway, Yeah, I thought I did turn it off. But anyway, here's the deal. I mean, we got one guy under par, and his name's Phil Mickelson. Oh, and it just happens to be the U.S. Open. Okay? And how many U.S. Opens has Phil Mickelson won? How about none? I don't remember Phil ever winning an Open. You know, he won three Masters, mm-hmm. right? He's won a PGA, and I think he won a British Open. But I don't think Phil has ever – check that up. See how many he's got. But I'd love to see him win this in Philly. And you know what? Very, very much a New York crowd in Philly, have you noticed? Because it's only like 2 hours down the road. It's not even that far. But it's – and it's not Philly. It's actually out by where Villanova University
is. It's close. It's outside Philly.
It's in the suburbs. Yeah. But it's going to be a great – it's going to be a great day today for watching TV. Hey, let me tell you, what do dads do best? We lay on the couch, we watch TV, we eat.
Yeah.
That's kind of what
this
we do.
This pretty much sums it up right
there. The only thing I got to do today is I got to go to lunch because my daughter is working today at Carrabba's. Free plug there in Reston. And I'm going to have lunch with my daughter waiting on me at 2 o'clock. I'll be out of there by 3. I'll be at the baseball field at 4. We'll take BP at 5. We play the game at 7, and at 10, I'll go watch everything I taped all day long till 1 in the morning. How about you, Roy? What are you doing today?
I'll probably go. Well, we went fishing yesterday. I'll probably
do that. Did you really just go with your dad?
No, my dad is down at our cottage in Southern Maryland.
Of course he is.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense.
Your dad's a boater.
Yeah.
Your dad was a yacht club member as a young man.
Yeah.
I remember that because your grandfather was a yacht club
guy. That's
right.
Yeah.
And I'm not – and listen, these aren't, you know, super rich like Caddyshack.
No, super rich.
Yeah. Caddyshack. This isn't Caddyshack.
Yeah, it's not Caddyshack.
Not those guys.
It's a nice yacht club, though.
These are blue-collar boaters.
Corinthian Yacht Club, guys. Look it up.
Tell them what your grandpa did for a living. Because he was a father, and he was your father's father, and he's the reason you're the way you are now.
Yeah, my grandfather owned a draping business in Annandale, Virginia.
Worked his butt off, too.
Uh-huh. And he had contracts with, I want to say it was Growls, or one of the grocery store appliance company. You know, it was all in Northern Virginia when they were, you know, when that kind of that generation, it wasn't the city kind of thing where it is now.
Right,
it was
50s, more small 60s, businesses 70s,
and
right.
Everything like that. So yeah, he owned his own draping business. My dad worked there for a while, and then he was very involved in that yacht club. And where he lived with his wife, my grandmother, when they were getting older, is where my dad is now. So it makes sense that on Father's Day he would be down there with where my grandfather used to live. So that makes sense.
You know, and your dad, mm-hmm. Who I've known since we were 10.
Yeah.
You know, he's a real good salesman. He's been in sales for a long time. I can remember selling Slender Now back in the 1975, 76 when your father, we used to sell a mixture, kind of like a protein drink,
mm-hmm.
Only it was to lose weight. It had amino acids and it had all kinds of crap in it. And you sold it to women who are a little overweight and women of almost any age. And, you know, you would make a profit. It was a multi-level marketing deal. Your dad did really well in that, but that wasn't his only job. I mean, he even had another full-time job. I can't remember what it was at the time. But I was teaching school at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? At one time, I was making more money selling Slender Now to girls at my school mm-hmm. than I was working as a coach and a teacher at the school. I'm just being honest with you. And back then, that's what you did.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got all of his people involved. But then he ended up in the high-tech industry, and he's done real well.
Yeah, he's
and, he, and we're the same age, basically. I'm getting ready to turn 60. I think your dad's barely 60.
Yeah, he's a good salesman. And if he's not a good salesman, then he'll convince you well enough that he is a good salesman.
Well,
so, you know, that's a good salesman.
He'll figure out a way to get the order. Now he figures out a way to get the order.
No, he's good.
And if he doesn't get the order, he makes sure somebody doesn't get the order.
That's right.
I'm Bruce Hall, and we're talking about Greg Edwards, who's Roy's mm-hmm. dad and one of the best dads of all time.
And he's a frequent listener to the show, so
yeah,
I'm sure
he's probably
listening to us.
Yeah,
he's
the guy in Northern Virginia listening
to the show right now. Northern Virginia listener.
As a matter of fact, Greg, if you want to call in, we're at 240-317-7294. 240-317-7294. Greg, call in and tell us what you hate about the show.
Yeah.
And then we'll jump all over you and sell
and
you.
And Bruce, don't get offended when he tells you that I'm the best part of the show.
Oh, I'm sure he will. I mean, you're his son. Well, I got to tell you, with all the stuff you're doing with Sports Man Cave. Oh, you know what Roy just told me he's going to do for me? He's going to be doing my baseball games,
yep,
starting probably not tonight, but
not
like
tonight,
this week. No. And it's the kid that's doing our show is probably, yep, going to be a guy that my son pitched with in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. So you can come see the Vienna River Dogs if you're, you know, close enough to Madison High School when we have a home game. Or if you're not, just turn, what are you, iHeartRadio, Sports Man Cave?
Tune in radio, yep.
SMC Radio.
Yep.
And you can hear the play-by-play of the River Dogs.
That's right.
And I got to tell you, there's nothing better than college ball in the summer. Now the College World Series is going on.
Yeah.
And there's some, how about Indiana? I mean,
the Hoosiers have had
It's the first time they've ever been in the College World Series, and they look like they might even win it.
Athletics in that entire university has,
right,
had a hell of a year. They, yeah, won soccer.
Well, they got rid of Bobby Knight.
They won a soccer. Yeah. Well,
and the other guy that they didn't
They
like.
Were number one overall in basketball for what seemed like forever.
Yeah.
They didn't win it, which was a bit of an upset.
But they had a great team.
I mean, they were a great team.
They
basketball,
had three draft choices.
It's safe
draft
to say basketball's back in Indiana. Football team, not. I mean,
they're improving,
I guess you can say that.
They're going to get better.
They'll get better.
Yep.
But they won it in soccer.
Right.
And now baseball, they're coming out of nowhere.
Well, you know, the Big Ten is
not a bad year.
This is what's so great about, you know, I really like what's going on in college sports because the universities, and I should say the colleges and the sports side of the universities, the athletic departments, are not sitting on their laurels. First, mm-hmm, of all, they know the NCAA has a problem. So what they're doing is they're being proactive. They're moving. They're using the rules to their advantage to, like, build these really conferences they want so, mm-hmm, they can get more money so they can do what they want to do. And the NCAA is just sitting there going, well, you know, whatever you want to do, you guys, because in my opinion, the NCAA could fold tomorrow and nobody'd care because they'd still make it work. All the universities would. And the Big Ten now. Is going to have, you know, they've got Maryland.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they.
Rutgers.
They've got Rutgers. They have all these teams moving to the Big Ten. You know, eventually there'll be two conferences larger than they even are right now.
That's the thought process, yeah.
You know, they'll have two divisions. And I'm telling you, you know, they're going to have Georgia Tech and Virginia, too. And mm-hmm, that is going to be, you know what I love about it the most? The wrestling is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, the grant of rights that the ACC just signed may put a dent in that for now, but eventually that's a thought process that there's going to be two major conferences. And right now, the thought.
Big 12.
The whole, the Big 12.
And the Pac 12.
The Big 12 and the ACC are kind of the next picking grounds for the SEC and the Big 10. So the rumor goes. I don't want to, you know, this is all speculation. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, you know how I feel about that, and we talked about it with your buddy.
Uh-huh.
Carolina and Duke, well, Carolina, yeah, especially bullied everybody.
Yeah.
For so long, you know, basically like, you know, well, you know, we're Carolina and this is how it's going to be and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. A lot of those teams in the Southeast don't need Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's teams like Florida State that can go wherever they want.
Yeah.
Florida State could go to the SEC tomorrow and they'd take them.
Yeah. If you want to keep an eye on college expansion, a big thing to keep an eye on is the Disney contract, because Disney owns ESPN, which in turn owns the broadcasting rights for the SEC network, which they put a heck of a lot of money into. And they'll be they have a contract with the ACC, and if there is an ACC network, which is where all the money is, you look at the Big Ten network, you look at the Longhorns network with Texas, that's where all the money is. So if you want to keep an eye on expansion and whether or not what the ACC is going to go do next, you keep an eye on Disney's fluctuation in funds, and you take a look at the ACC network if they get one. If they don't get one, then
they're going to have to find a sponsor.
That's right.
You'll somebody have to carry them.
Exactly. They'll have to do live reads.
Can I ask you a question before I do this live read?
Yes, please.
Can you get your buddy to call in again, the guy I like so much?
Sure,
that
let me get him call in?
Yes, absolutely, because
sure.
That guy is amazing. What's his name?
His name's Chris the Dude Lambert.
Chris the Dude.
Yep.
You know, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on this Father's Day Sunday.
We certainly are.
Edition of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS News Talk. Sorry.
I was going through News Talk. I was going through withdrawal last week. Not being on the show, but I got to listen to you guys. You guys did a great job last week. I liked the interview you had last week. Congratulations. I really like that guy from Cleveland. He's a good guy. Really good front-end news reporter. Jason Taylor. No, what's his name?
Jason Taylor?
It's not Jason
the
Taylor.
The DN for the,
no, it's for
the Dolphins?
Yeah, it's not Jason Taylor. It's Scott Taylor.
Rick Snyder?
Scott Taylor.
We had Rick Snyder
on,
too.
And he's also a pretty young guy because he's got a little girl playing softball.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he was our – he talked – Cleveland, you talk Perez story. That was a great. That was a great interview.
You know, I really feel bad for Tony because he wanted to slam Perez, and I thought he was going to be on. Seriously, I thought he was going to be on longer than that. So we'll have to wait for the Chris Perez story to unfold another week before we get Tony back on to slam him.
See,
but good.
What I didn't know about the whole Perez story was that he said it was a misdemeanor. Or that it wasn't. But
I don't think they're done charging him though. They're not done charging him.
Didn't he say it was something like 9 ounces or something like that?
Yeah. Well, I've heard.
I don't want to pull the when I was growing up. Yeah, but when I was in high school, 9 ounces was attempted to distribute, and it was bigger than a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
Right?
But listen, it's a problem in Ohio too, and here's the deal. He hasn't been charged with everything yet. He hasn't been charged. You're the one that put this here, not me.
Come closer.
You're telling me to come closer. You want me closer to the mic?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Back. You're just laid back. I'm just going to talk sports.
It's Father's Day. I'm a father. It's one of the few days I get to actually participate in. But anyway, we're going to. We got a call. We have a call. Let's see who it is. I bet it's Craig. Hello,
Tony.
Tony.
No. Who's this?
Who's this?
What's going on? Chris.
Hey, Chris. This is the Chris the Dude Lambert. Here it is.
Hey, Chris the Dude.
There it is.
Thanks for calling in, buddy. Hey, listen,
real
quick. Listen, you are the man when it comes to knowing what's going on with the conferences in college sports. I think the last time we talked, that you said that you thought we were going to see Virginia and possibly Georgia Tech in the Big Ten also. Is that still on?
Well, Big Ten and the SEC are still on the hunt. The ACC's grant of rights is complicated things. I can't really get the story about how that came about, except either Florida State decided they were going to go all in with the ACC, or Florida State was told no by the Big Ten.
Right.
Ohio State was Florida State's big booster. Something happened there. You know, we had E. Gordon Gee's comments about academics. You know, Florida State wasn't up to the Big Ten's academic standards. Georgia Tech seemed to take themselves out of it because they weren't willing to spend the amount of money on athletics necessary to compete the Big Ten. They have a very small alumni base, and their alumni base isn't very supportive of athletics.
Well, you know, they have a very small school. And, you know, exactly. I don't think they have more than 4,000 students, do they?
No, they're fairly small. They don't have a large alumni base. They're second fiddle to Georgia in the state of Georgia.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. But, you know, they don't do really well in the TV ratings or merchandising. You know, they're a top tier academic school. Illinois and Purdue really, 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 really wanted Georgia Tech in the Big Ten for the academic reasons.
Yeah,
Ohio State countered with football and Florida State, and then you get the internal politics of a conference. The really bad thing is now that we have four conferences locked in for grant of rights, you have the two premier conferences, the Big Ten and the SEC, stuck at a very unwieldy 14.
Yeah.
They both have conference networks that depend on television games for inventory. So where do they go for additional members?
Yeah. Well, the Big Ten, in my opinion, will probably come out of this best of all of them. The SEC, do you ever see Florida State going into the SEC?
Well, they've turned down the SEC twice.
Really?
I don't know if they'll.
Why would they do that, though? Doesn't the SEC contract, isn't that better than the ACC contract, money-wise?
Oh, it is. But remember, when you get into the SEC, your athletic budget basically has to triple.
Yeah.
So you have to be in the over $100 million range to you compete with Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Tennessee. And we talked about how small a school Georgia Tech is. FSU isn't small, but FSU has only been a co-ed institution since, I think, 1958.
Yeah.
So their alumni base isn't that large either. FSU's dirty little secret is they have attendance problems. You know, they, like all schools, they have attendance problems. They'll give away tickets and announce a sellout, but they're not really sold out. You remember when West Virginia canceled the game with Florida State?
Right.
Florida State was upset, and West Virginia ended up paying Florida State $300,000 to buy out that game. They were upset because West Virginia was a draw.
Right. Yeah, when did that – was that last year or the year before?
It was last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The move to the Big 12 and everything like that. It became an open game on the WVU schedule.
You know, to me, what's really amazing for me, because I coach summer baseball, college baseball – and FSU, even all the kids down there that play JUCO ball, they're huge Seminole fans. And it seems to me that especially on the Panhandle and even into Georgia, all those kids love – I mean, they have a ton of fans. What you're saying to me is they're just not the fans that will buy season tickets.
Well, they're not the fans who buy season tickets, and apparently Tallahassee is not that easy to get to. You know, I've been told the infrastructure down there is not really conducive to getting people in and out of games.
Right.
I think Clemson has the same problem. And also, you have to think about the ACC schedule. I mean, you know, are you going to get that fired up for Duke, Wake Forest?
Yeah. Yeah, especially in some sports like football. Yeah, you know, Duke's got David Cutcliffe there, and they're doing some things. But that's basically an Ivy League school. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're not going to have big attendance. They have to rely in Durham, Duke does, on a lot of people in the area just going there and buying tickets and taking the family there. Now, Duke can afford not to have a ton of income because they have different ways that they actually even fund a lot of their scholarships. For example, they still have a Division I wrestling program there, but I don't think they have one wrestling scholarship. I think it's all done on some kind of a, you know, some big company gives them X amount of dollars per year. Do you know what I'm saying?
Certainly, but let me get on my Duke horse for a minute.
Oh, right, do that, please, because I want to hear about Duke.
I want to talk about Cutcliffe. Cutcliffe gets props. He was ACC Coach of the Year. And what has he done? He's never had a winning record. You know, he might have won five or six games, but four of those.
For Duke, yeah.
Game against Division II teams. You know, I asked people what makes Cutcliffe so great. And they said, well, he's restored you know, Duke's facilities. Well, if that's the case, then in West Virginia, Frank Cignetti is the best coach in West Virginia's history.
I hear you.
You know, the results are on the field. You know, Duke is a pathetic football program, and if the standards are so low that 5 and 6. You know, 5 and 7, 5 and 6 gets you Coach of the Year. That's all you need to know about the ACC as a football conference.
Yeah, you remember when you're not old enough. I'm sure you're not old enough to remember when Steve Spurrier coached Duke, but he had Ben Bennett as his quarterback, and Ben Bennett was ACC Player of the Year. And I want to say they went 9-3 or 9-2. Duke did. That was one of the better teams to watch because, like Cutcliffe, a lot of passing. And like Cutcliffe, he couldn't recruit the big guys. He couldn't recruit big defensive linemen. He couldn't recruit big offensive linemen because their standards are too tough to get into school. You know, even with the break in the SATs and your GPA and all that, it's still hard to get guys into Duke. You know what I mean?
Other schools do it. Notre Dame doesn't allow any deviance in their academic standards for admissions for athletes.
It's Notre Dame, though. That's the Vatican. You're talking about.
But, Chris, we were... go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, probably the more important distinction is that what we're seeing is a division between rural and urban schools.
Right.
The urban schools are more basketball-focused, whereas the rural schools, football is still primarily a rural sport, and it takes that fan allegiance in the rural areas like West Virginia, Oklahoma, Texas. You'd be hard-pressed to find an urban school in college football that's a success right now. I mean, you see them all on the decline. You know, Pitt, Duke, you know, even UNC is pretty much of an urban school, and they're focused on basketball. I think UNC's major athletic funds still come from the basketball side. Yeah, I think that disparity is going to continue. And if the full cost of scholarships ever comes in, you know, you have to worry about private schools like Duke. Mm-hmm. Are they going to continue to decide to continue to play big boy football?
No, I hear you. Let me ask you a little bit about
it.
Yeah. Let me ask you real quick. And can you stay on for the better part of the next segment, too?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to let you know, because we got a read to do, and we got to break out for a commercial here in a minute. But let me ask you this. Conference USA, what the heck is going to go on with that conference?
It's going to be a second-tier conference, just like it is now. There's a division coming in college football along that full cost of attendance scholarship, where basically they're going to end up paying players a stipend.
Wow.
And only the super big conferences, probably the Big Four or Big Five, can afford to do that. And I'm concerned that there are certain schools in the Big 12 and the ACC who are not going to be able to do that. One good example is Pitt. You know, Pitt has found that no matter their success on the football field, the support of the Pitt football program remains the same. You know, donations do not increase. Attendance does not increase, again, because it's that urban-rural split.
Right.
Pitt football is easily the fifth most popular sport in Pittsburgh. So do schools like Pittsburgh decide to take on that additional cost, you know, especially in light with declining state support?
That's great. Hey, listen, we'll be back in a minute. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back with Chris in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. It's Bruce Hall's Second Opinion here on our Father's
Day Sunday. Tell them who's on the line.
And we do have Chris the Dude Lambert on the line, Mr. College Expansion himself.
Wow. Hey, Chris, Roy just told me that you're a ball player. Is your eligibility up? Because I could really use I'm already putting my team for 2014 together for next summer. He said you went to Liberty.
I did. Went to play for Bobby Richardson, the Hall of Fame shortstop for the New York Yankees.
What?
And let me tell you guys, he hated me. Hated me.
Yeah, I've heard some stories about Rich. I met him one time. That was a long time ago. Because, you know, he's been dead for some time. Bobby died at fairly early age too, if I'm not mistaken. But let me ask you about Liberty. A lot of the kids that play for me are basically Mid-Atlantic kids. I got kids from Florida to New York, you know, a couple of kids from out west, but most everybody is from either the DC, Baltimore, Tidewater area of Virginia, and then I got North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and some kids from the from the Panhandle, like Tallahassee Community College kids that are really good. And just because, you know, we can only have 30 on a roster. What position did you play?
I was a catcher.
I was a catcher, too. I walked on at East Carolina in 1970 and made their team as a catcher, and I ended up wrestling for 4 years. Liberty has a wrestling program, too, right?
Right. Liberty is one of the big-time school. You know, they are thinking about moving up to Division I football.
They should.
And they just made the College World Series. It didn't last very long, but they actually, you know, had a cup of tea up there, I guess.
I spoke to their head coach on the telephone this year, because the one thing I noticed about Liberty is they can swing it. And I'm a swing coach. And so I was looking at all these guys, and I called him up. And I already had my roster full, but, I said that we were going to get together in the offseason. I was going to come down to Lynchburg, which isn't that far from D.C., and I was going to, you know, watch him. But you know what all my kids tell me, every single one of them? They tell me that field is the most pristine, beautiful place to play baseball they've been in. Is that right?
Well, I did play on that field. I think that's a new ballpark there.
It is.
Liberty has expanded a great deal. A little bit about my playing career. I was one of those guys who had little talent and had to work his butt off. You know, I built my own batting cage and tee at home, and you know, I hit about 500 to 1,000 balls every day.
You're right. You swing it righty or lefty?
Both.
Left. Oh, you're a switch hitter. Well, that's certainly
all the power is from the left.
Yeah, I hear you. Mine and slow pitch softballs off from the left too. But I swung it right-handed when I played baseball. Now, I went to East Carolina, and Liberty's been around for a long, long time, but it's not been till recently that they've really, really made some big-time strides in athletics. But the thing that I am so impressed with, because I was a college wrestler, is the fact that you guys know how important that sport is. And you keep a wrestling team, a Division I team. And some of the guys from Liberty have actually gone to the NCAA tournament in recent years.
Yeah. WBU has a very prominent wrestling program, too.
Yes, they do. They always have. I mean, they had one of the Carr brothers as a head coach there for some time. And, you know, Nate Carr, those kids were from Erie, PA. But they were like nationally, they were like freestyle wrestlers. They were extremely good. They were on all the USA teams. And they were in West Virginia, too. But I was so impressed to hear from that. Listen, I want to ask you a question about the quote-unquote Big East. Tell everybody what's happening with the Big East and what's going to, you know, as far as, you know, the basketball part, the football part. Because East Carolina, my alumni, I mean, my alma mater, excuse me, is going to be in that new Big East, which has a different name, right?
Exactly. I think it's the American Athletic Conference, the AAC. And they have a new logo. All these second-tier conferences are in trouble. I think the Big East new television contract, West Virginia's best year in the Big East, they made $7 million. Last year, with 50% revenues, they made $11 million in the Big 12. The Big East new television contract is basically half of what it was when West Virginia was there, meaning I think each team is going to get around $3.5 million. That barely covers the cost of your scholarships for your football programs. I don't see how that conference is long-term viable unless it gobbles up your Conference USA or has some type of allegiance with the Mountain West. You know, fortunately they have an end for the playoffs, but that end is, you know, paramount to winning the lottery.
Right. Do you know who's coming besides East Carolina to that new conference? Is Tulane coming?
I don't think Tulane. I know Memphis is coming. Memphis is a plus up for the basketball side.
Right.
They have Houston coming in. Wow. Basically, they just raided Conference USA.
Right. And so Conference USA is going to be left with the spoils. Whatever's left, that's going to be Conference USA starting next year?
Right. It's pretty much the old Southern Conference. Or equivalent to the old Southern Conference without the Southern flavor. You really have. They should change the name of the Conference USA to Little Sisters of the Poor.
I'm Bruce Hall, and we're talking to Chris. And hey Chris, let me tell you this. What you do is so amazing because not many people really understand the politics of college sports. I have a question because this is. I'm not a football hater because I love the sport. I handicap the NFL. I love to watch football, but college football, in my opinion, is what is and with the onset of Title IX being taken to too extreme of a level, in my opinion, over the years, football has raided all of the other men's sports. That's what when I wrestled, we had almost 300 Division I programs. Now there's 88. Because, you know, the first thing these athletic directors do, first of all, they're mostly football guys anyway. And the first thing they do is say, well, look, you know, I mean, we're making all the money. We're bringing all the revenues. So we need 86 full scholarships. Is that the number that they have now, maximum?
Yes, I think it is.
All right. Here's my problem with that. And let's just compare it to baseball since you and I both played baseball, okay? Baseball has 11.9 scholarships. Is that correct? I think it is. They get
depending on each school. Like West Virginia had not until this year fully funded their baseball scholarships.
Right. Well, a lot of them aren't fully vested, and I understand that. But still, there's 35 on a college roster. All right, how many guys can we put on a football field, offense and defense at the same time? 22. All right, let's give them two kickers. That's 24. Let's not only do that. Let's get them a second string. Right. Mm-hmm. That's 40. That's 46. Then okay. You got 46 hits. Let's give them 14 more players for their special teams and their third string. That's 60. If you can't run a football program with 60 full scholarships, what good are you? And they could take those other 26 scholarships, in my opinion, and spread them out and bring soccer back for the guys and bring swimming back in certain places, bring lacrosse back, bring wrestling back. Wrestling gets 9.9 scholarships at the NCAA level. I could operate a wrestling program with 6 or 7 because there are certain things you can do. How do you feel about this? You think I'm crazy?
No, I don't. I understand your point of view, but I've also played football in high school and tried out for football in college as a receiver. And the wear and tear on your body in football just isn't the same as it is in baseball or even wrestling. My roommate in college was a wrestler, so I think I can speak to, you know, how beat up he was after practice and doing a match. I mean, college athletics and college football is no longer an amateur sport. It's business.
Right.
You know, the coaches, in almost every situation, the college football coaches are the highest paid state employee. The money that the football programs generate, I know West Virginia University pays for nearly every non-revenue sport.
Right.
And to compete at the high level that West Virginia does, that the big programs do, if you do not match what the Alabamas and LSUs are doing, you have no chance to compete because it's depth.
Correct.
You need 3-4 running backs a year. You have to go 5 wide receivers deep. You know, you need the 22 or 14 people on special teams. You know, you need, but more importantly, you need the reps. You need the scout team, which is usually the third and fourth string, to mimic the offense and defense of this week's coming opponent,
right?
Because your prep window is so small. Baseball is a team sport, but we both know that it really is a team sport of individual performance.
Right.
There's strategy involved, but it comes down to hitting or catching and throwing the ball. You know, in football, strategy and game plan actually makes a difference. So if you take away those additional players, and more importantly, you take away the ability for those players to redshirt and sit on the bench and have that year to get stronger and more comfortable in the system, then you're going to see decreased performance and decreased revenue. So one of West Virginia's problems in moving from the Big East to the Big 12 was lack of depth.
Right.
We didn't have the players to play at 100% effort, 99 plays per game. If we had had less players, we would have, and West Virginia wasn't working with a full roster because of some scholarship issues and because of some recruiting problems, players leaving camp.
Right.
Football needs that full roster. The problem is Title IX. And I'm a big person who's into equality. I believe women should have every opportunity, but to sacrifice the opportunities for people to compete because you want to faux generate this interest in a sport, just for the sake of Title IX is the real problem.
I read, Chris, somewhere earlier this year that out of all the sports, men's and women's sports, only 4%. Of the attendance is at the women's games, and that's including basketball compared to the men's sports. Does that sound accurate to you?
It does. And
that's my point. I mean, they get 52, like at James Madison University, which is close to where you went to school, in Harrisonburg, Virginia. They dropped, I think, 8 men's sports 4 or 5 years ago, wrestling being one of them.
Well, Maryland had to drop a bunch of sports.
Well, they did that this year, but they didn't drop wrestling because they're going to the Big Ten. They're going to wrestle. And that's one of the good news stories I can tell about wrestling. But my point is this. At JMU, the women, you understand how that's made. They have to have 52% of the money, basically. They get 52% of the scholarships for their sports because there's 52% women there. We're going to have to run.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thanks for coming on with us, buddy. And let us know your Twitter handle where people can follow you, read your stuff. And I guess thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, Chris.
The official dude of Bruce All Second.
You're the man. You're the man. We got to get together sometime, buddy. All right.
Hey,
cool. Hey, we'll be back in a minute.
Thanks, Chris.
Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here.
You damn
Bruce
Skippy,
Hall's
we're
second
back.
Opinion here on News Talk AM 1230 WFAS. And that was the dude, Chris Lambert. You can follow him on Twitter. I know we had to go to break there, but you can follow him on Twitter at the dude of WV.
Is that right?
Yeah, and read all his stuff at sportsmancave.com.
For a guy that went to Liberty,
SMC Morgantown.
For a guy that went to Liberty, he's picked up West Virginia nicely.
Yep.
Now, it's just amazing. If you go on Twitter, and you can follow me at Bruce Hall Sports, and you can follow Roy on a number of Twitter
accounts.
Yeah, just
type SMC in front of it.
And SMC, and you'll get him at Sportsman Cave.
15% of all Twitter accounts are involved with Roy somehow.
And they have some,
they all show up on his iPhone.
Yeah, and they have something to do with Title IX, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the deal is.
Yep.
You know what? He defended football, and I understand that, but one thing we didn't get to talk to him about was walk-ons. Mm-hmm. Walk-ons end up being sometimes your best players eventually.
Yeah.
So, and in the old days when they got 50 full scholarships, by the way, football, you know, not that long ago, 30 years ago, there were 30 walk-ons that were on the scout team.
Right.
And you know what? They learned how to be people. They worked harder than anybody else because that's how they got to dress for home games. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys didn't even travel. I don't even know if they take 86 when they travel, but
yeah, I don't think they do. I doubt it would be 86.
No, but in the old days, they used to just take a bare minimum of kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
well,
it saved a lot of money. Saved a lot of money.
Home games, you get more dresses, obviously, than you do on travel games because of the buses or the planes.
Hey, give us a call out there, 240-317-7294. Did you hear that? That was good. I'm sitting here scarfing down something that's not on my non-gluten diet.
He's having a hard
time called
swallowing.
A bear claw.
Oh, man.
And they're really good.
But he's coming from a position of revenue, is where...
Plus, he knows athletic directors, and I know one he knows.
But the college expansion has... that's what it's become.
Right.
It's just become a grab for money. So, of course, you're going to put... And
I'd be good at that.
Like any company, is you put your best product forward and you invest the most into that product. And if that's the one that's going to bring you the most income and you know, the most show, then that's what you invest into. And that's football. Football brings in more money than any other sport. You know, and then that's not a slight against wrestling or baseball or soccer lacrosse
it's
or anything
a revenue
like that.
Deal. No, but it's a revenue deal. But let me explain something about the American way of life. We tailgate on Saturday.
Yeah.
We teenagers and college students get drunk on Saturday. They eat a ton of crap on Saturday. And what do? They go to the football game.
Yeah.
You know who else goes to football games? Wrestlers. Soccer players, lacrosse players, they have every much a right to have to be able to play their sport at their university as football does. And it doesn't matter. Hey, listen, if we had started going to wrestling matches, and actually, believe it or not, thousands of years ago, there wasn't football. Come to think of it, 150 years ago, there wasn't football.
Right.
Okay? People went to wrestling matches. Wrestling was an Olympic sport long before anything else.
Absolutely.
You ran the freaking marathon and you wrestled. That was about what you did. You threw the javelin. You threw the shot put.
That was before colleges and universities became
a
business.
And money. And it's just exactly right. What he said. He said that it's a big business. There's nothing they
That's why we have college expansion. We don't have college expansion because we want to heighten the play or we want to make, you know, a super conference and make a better champion.
Don't
we
you
have...
think, though, we can improve everything?
I don't think
the NCAA is even thinking about it. They're just letting – we got a caller here. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, Dad, it's Davis. I just want to say happy Father's Day.
Hey, thank you very much. This is my son, Davis Hall, maybe going to be one of the best pitching coaches in the world. And of course, you were gone last night, and I did everything I had to do, and we had it going on, just one pitch, and we lose 5-3, and that's baseball. But you're going to be at the game today, right?
Yeah, well, we're going to pull one out today.
All right, we need to. Davis, thanks a lot, buddy. I love you. Hey, so you're up early? Gee, it's before.
Yep.
It's before noon. Are you home yet?
No, I'm gonna be home in a little while.
Yeah, of course you're not home yet. You're 23, gonna be 24 soon. Say hi to Sarah, and I'll see you in a little while, buddy. I love you.
I love you too.
Hi, buddy. That's my son. That's the second time I think he's ever told me he loves me.
That's cute.
Which is fine. He's, you know, Davis, he's real shy. He's more like Christopher. You're more like your dad. Christopher's like Christopher. I'm Bruce Hall, and Chris, I love you, buddy. But sometimes nobody knows where you're coming from unless they know you. And by the way, Christopher's turning out to be a hell of a salesman.
Yeah, he's doing
making,
all right.
Buddy, he's making some ducatos, is what we call. He's making some simoleons.
He's doing well. He's doing very well.
Hey, yeah, some simoleons. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We got Chris Johnson's going to call in soon. We're going to talk about the U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. You got a guy calling in. It's been there all week.
Marcus Washington, Mook Washington.
Mook.
Of
Mook's
the Sporting City Kit. He will be on at 11:30.
And Roy had credentials for the Open. Sent one of his guys up there. Yeah. And
my badge is still waiting there for me to pick it up. Father's Day weekend gets a little tricky.
Can I tell you what? It's hard just getting you to the studio on time sometimes.
Yeah.
Give me five here.
Yeah,
hey,
there you
anyway.
Go.
All right. Let's do this. Let's talk about baseball till somebody calls in. You know, it is baseball season, and it's June. And you know what's really wild? Remember when it was dark most of the day?
Yeah.
Wasn't that long ago, right?
Not long ago.
Well, guess what? On June 22nd or 3rd, when it's the summer solstice,
mm-hmm.
what is that, a week from now?
Yeah.
It's going to be the longest. You know why I'm getting up at 5:30 in the morning? Because the sun's out.
Yeah.
As soon as the sun comes up, I get up. If the sun doesn't come up, my butt stays in bed and I sleep.
Well, I bought these for my son. My son's two. And his bedroom, and he has the glass door with like the balcony on the
sure.
front and everything like that. He's got
the
master bedroom.
He's learned
of course,
not to walk
the
through the door. He doesn't walk through the door.
And yeah, we have a mattress in front of it.
That helps.
Which is what I'm getting at. We have the heat blocking drapes that
right.
are like the shade blockers. We have a mattress in front of it. Like we have everything possible in front of it because the sun rises
right
into that glass door.
That would be the east.
Yet he knows. It's like an alarm clock that goes off in his head every day. It doesn't matter when he goes. He could go to bed at midnight and he'll get up at 6:30. He could go to bed at 7 o'clock at night. He gets up at 6:30.
You know what we call those kids? Good kids. Because
well, yeah.
he's not going to sleep all freaking day.
He's consistent.
Well, you know the way it works when they get into their teens,
yeah,
late. If they're not athletes, which I doubt yours is definitely going to be an athlete. But you know they stay up till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. They get to bed. They wake up when they wake up. Noon, 11 o'clock,
Avery
1 o'clock.
If he's anything like me, he'll get up at 1 o'clock.
It's perfect. It's perfect. You go work out. And then you go eat a huge lunch
mm-hmm.
somewhere. When I lived in Greenville, one of the best times I had in my life, I you know what? I was drawn on unemployment because I couldn't get a teaching job. I was 23 or 4 years old, and I worked at Newbie's Sub Shop part-time. And, of course, we got to eat at Newbie's all the time, you know, because we made our own subs. Hello. I mean, they were big subs. But I used to deliver to the dorms, and you can imagine some of the tips I got in the 70s in the dorms. You know, when I would deliver sandwiches, I don't even want to talk about it because, you know, I could get in trouble. Well, actually, I couldn't, but I just don't. Nobody needs to hear. So anyway, what would happen back then is that we would close up. Tim and I, Tim Ford, who works for Sandler Food, who's Cisco now, and he's on the Outer Banks making a ton of money. Got kids. He's a surfer. And Timmy and I would go eat after we closed Newbies up at 2 a.m. And we would go to like Huddle House, which was a place where we ate like 10 eggs, pancakes, you name it. We'd go home, watch TV or play video, not video games, but something, ping pong.
Yeah.
We go to bed at 6 a.m. Guess what? We get up at 12:30, 1 o'clock, and we would go work out. We'll be back in a minute.
On the other side, let's talk about greatest father-son
We can do that.
Figures ever.
We just got to talk. We got to give everybody our baseball picks because we're on fire right
and
now.
And U.S. Open as well.
We'll be back
so
in a minute.
So that's what you have looking forward to.
We'll be back in a minute. AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Can I read something, Roy? This is really cool. You know, I'm a big...
I believe it's May I read something.
May. How about June? June I read something, Roy?
It's possible July. That you can read.
But may I read?
Yeah.
Hey, it's my show. I can read. I'm allowed to read. Hey, listen, the thing I like about... I'm a big fan of sports pages. Every time I go to a different city, I go out and buy a paper, and I read the sports section. And the reason I do that is because I live in Northern Virginia, and we get the Washington Post. And that's kind of like reading stuff written on the wall in a bathroom because there's just not much of it.
No offense to Mike Wise.
Yeah, no, I love Mike Wise. No, I like Mike.
Call in, buddy.
Yeah, but I'm not...
Yeah, call in, Mike.
I'm not talking about the content
right. And
the quality. I'm talking about just the amount.
Right.
It's like you couldn't wipe your rear end with what's in a sports page for the Washington Post. You'd need another page from somewhere.
In the old days,
we used to wipe our rear ends in an outhouse with newspaper. Now, listen. The thing I like about the Sun in Baltimore, and you get the Sun because you live in Baltimore now. It's a great...
When they choose to deliver it.
It is a very good... Or when you pick up your neighbors, it's just sitting there. Uh-huh. They do a different thing every Sunday. This week, it's Quick Hit Fathers and Sons. The Boston Red Sox, Smokey Joe Wood and Joe Wood Jr. were both pitchers. And they played for the Red Sox. They're the best father-son duo for the Red Sox.
Oh, it's for every team?
Yes.
Okay.
The Baltimore Orioles.
Ripkins?
Nope. No, because he was a coach. Oh, yeah, it should have been Billy. You're right.
Why not?
But you know who they put on here? Which leads me to think, what's the Sun got against the Ripkins? Don and Damon Buford. Now, that seems just a little politically correct to me. Okay. New York. Yogi and Dale Barra.
Yeah, that where makes sense.
If Dale Barra hadn't gotten a cocaine problem as bad as Diego Maradona's, he would have been a pretty damn good ball player. Yogi was one of the best, Hall of Famer, still alive, great guy.
There's not a person alive who
and the smartest guy I've ever talked to. I swear to God, Tampa Bay, none.
Yeah, I was like, what?
None.
Tampa Bay as a baseball team?
Yeah. Toronto, none. Detroit. Cecil and Prince Fielder.
Fielders,
now, that is a powerhouse.
Cecil, though.
Cecil. He was Cecil Fielder. They called him Big Daddy. He was a home run. He hit between 40 and 50 home runs.
That was Milwaukee, though.
No.
Cecil never played for Detroit, did he?
Yes, he did. Yes.
I know that they were on the Brewers together.
Roy, you're not old enough to even know. I used to go to their spring training. You know what? I went and saw him playing spring training on his birthday. You know what they gave out? Hats that said Big Daddy.
Well, I know that they were in the Brewers franchise. No. They were both in the Brewers franchise.
No, it's not true. Cecil Fielder was always a Tiger.
Okay.
If he went to if he went to Milwaukee, he went very late in his career for a year. Cleveland Indians, Earl and Earl Averill. Now, I wasn't around for either of those guys, but I believe it if they're Cleveland guys. Kansas City, this is a good one. Hal and Brian McCray. Both guys, type A's. Hal McCray has the best ESPN bite of video when he goes off on the reporters in his office and throws a phone at one of them and hits him with a phone. And then he got fired the next day. What a surprise. Minnesota, Sal and Drew Butera. Sal Butera was a catcher, and evidently Drew is just starting to play somewhere in, on the team. Chicago White Sox, this is a good one. Are you ready for this? Sandy and Sandy Jr. Alomar, both catchers.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oakland A's. This is old, these are old guys, Eddie and Eddie Jr. Collins. Eddie Collins, a Hall of Famer. Eddie Jr., not so much. Texas, I have no idea who these guys are. Mike and Mike Bassick. I think they're pitchers, and who cares? Seattle, this is a good one. Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, those.
They got to be the best. Except I'm getting ready to tell you one that might be better.
San Francisco Giants?
Yeah, that's in a little while. Except for no one will vote for him because they don't like him.
I'm just saying it's hard to...
Hard to say no to him. Yeah, yeah. Here's the Los Angeles Angels. Bob and Darren Oliver. Darren Oliver just signed again. He's up in the big leagues. He's 43 or 44 years old. He's the young one. His dad was Bob Oliver, and I don't remember him. But I'm going to take their word for it because they wouldn't lie to me. Here you go. This is a good one. These are two good ones. Houston Astros, Jose and Jose Cruz Jr. Mm-hmm. Both outfielders. In the National League. Oh, this is going to take some people by surprise. I know this guy. I played golf with him a lot. I didn't play with him. And his son, Randy St. Clair. Hmm. He's Florida Marlins pitching coach.
Is that what that is? The Marlins? Is that
no, that's Atlanta. When he was with Atlanta. It's who they played for.
Right.
The Washington Nationals. This is a good one.
They have one?
Felipe and Moises Alou.
Expos, right?
Yep. Felipe and Moises Alou both hit
they're both
600
great.
Home runs between them.
They were on my list of father-son
Yes,
combos.
They were. And Moises Alou, of course, is the guy that was single-handedly responsible for making that poor boy in Chicago's life miserable on a ball he might not have even caught. Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. This is a good one. Ruben and Ruben Amaro. Mm-hmm. You notice how these guys name all these kids after them? The New York, this is funny, the New York Mets, who have been around since the 60s, no active pairs. That figures. The Miami Heat, none. St. Louis.
Miami Heat.
You know what I'm thinking? Oh, we got to talk about that today. They're playing tonight at 8 o'clock.
LeBron James and LeBron James.
Dude. Hey, we got to. Hey, make sure you don't miss a phone call. Here we go.
Yeah, watch that phones.
Watch the phones, man.
Doing?
Don't laugh. Quit giggling. St. Louis Cardinals. Ed Nomar Olivares. Omar Olivares pitched a no-hitter. I remember that. Cincinnati, Gus and Buddy Bell, both of them were.
You could put the Griffies
there,
too.
They were both in all-star games, but neither one of them's in the Hall of Fame, I don't think.
You could put the Griffies there, too, right? Didn't they both play?
Well, they're already there.
No, I know.
I just said it.
They're the best for two different franchises.
Well, wait a minute. Who are you talking about?
The Griffies.
Cincinnati Reds?
The Griffies both played for.
Oh, you're right. They could have. But they elected. You know why they gave the other ones that one?
Because
they were the only ones.
Because Junior and.
No, they were the only ones.
Right. And Junior didn't exactly have the best Reds career.
They didn't want to leave it. They didn't want to leave it blank. We got a phone call. Oh, I love today. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Whom father am I talking to here?
Bruce.
Hello. Who's this?
It's CJ.
CJ, what's up? Chris Johnson. Chris, what's going on, buddy?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. Happy Father's Day, just in case, you know.
yeah, just in case there's some out there.
Never know, right?
Yeah, let me just tell you something, CJ. Hey, let me tell you something, CJ. You and I both, at one time in our lives, probably a lot of blur going on there. Hey, listen, thanks for calling in. I know you,
man.
Chris is like, Chris, what was the name of your golf show this year, Chris?
19th hole.
Great show. Loved hearing you. You used to hear it on the way to work. And Chris was my co-host for 2 years when we were with 106.7, The Fan, I think. It was 2 years. It might have been 1 year.
And then he tricked me.
It seemed like 2 years, didn't it, Chris, every morning when we had to get up and meet at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, right? But let me ask you a question here real quick. What do you think? I mean, is Phil going to do it? Because, you know, Phil historically on Sunday doesn't keep the lead. I mean, I can't even ever remember him keeping a lead. Can you?
I've certainly he's kept leads before. I mean, we've seen.
I mean, in regular tournaments, yeah.
Yeah, we've seen him do it many times before, but we've never seen him do it in the national championship. And, you know, the thing is that this is set up for either a dream story or a typical Phil collapse today. The whole thing, the storylines of Father's Day, it's his birthday, five runner-ups, he's got the lead by himself. And so, you know, you wonder, are we set up to watch a car accident today, which is a normal Phil Sunday performance at the U.S. Open,
right.
Or are we set for that dream scenario? And it'll be interesting. And I think we've seen a different Phil this week with him keeping the driver out of the bag, playing with five wedges, which is something I've never heard of, and playing conservatively like we saw him do yesterday on 10 and 11 yesterday. So this is a Phil taking a different kind of approach. This isn't a Phil hitting driver off the 72nd hole at Wingfoot back in 2006.
Yeah, what do you think they're going to set the course up like today? You think they're going to set it up hard? You think they're going to set it up so that maybe there's a chance at a eagle? Dare I say it? Because I don't think – has there been an eagle all week that hasn't gone in out of the fairway?
No, there hasn't, actually.
Yeah. There's only two 4-5s, as you know, on the course, and really both of them are difficult to get to. I just looked at the pin sheets, and you asked about are they going to set it up easy or hard. Well, I think the answer is hard because six pins are set up only 4 paces from the edge of the green.
Oh, my God.
It's going to – I think it's, as we've seen all week, it's going to be a challenge for these guys, and it's going to be the guy who can play the best defensive golf all day. And to me, that's Hunter Mahan. That's the guy that I think can play the best defensive golf all day. He's the best ball striker off the tee of the guys that are in 2 or 3 shots from the lead right there, and he sits just 1 shot back. He's an extremely solid iron player, and the part of his game that's really hurt him over the years has been his short game and his putting, and actually he comes in today as the best putter over the past 3 days at the U.S. Open. So I'd look for him playing in that last group with Mickelson to really be there at the end.
Well, you know, the greens had to be a little different if Tiger is having problems, because
yeah,
he's been putting so well all
year.
He's
been leading the tour.
I mean, he's been putting well, but you know, they got so much rain, CJ, up there, and you know, I think the greens are a little inconsistent. And even yesterday, guys were leaving a few short still. I think today it's finally dried out, right? I mean, they didn't get any rain last night, did they?
No, I don't think they've had any rain at all, really, since late Thursday evening. And to me, the telltale sign of how difficult these greens are, I mean, you talk about Tiger as one of the great putters of this generation, but also Steve Stricker, the guy who gave Tiger a lesson a few months ago. Stricker, I've watched over the past few days, struggle with putts that normally he's just simply rock solid at. And you know, he's struggled the past few days with his putter. He still sits right there with a chance. And another great storyline for a guy like him, if he can get it done today, to be the oldest ever to win a U.S. Open.
What happened with the big pairing of Woods, Rory, and Scott? A lot was made of those three and how it was one of the superstar pairing going in. But now it kind of looks like they're all, you know, not going to – I mean, nobody really – none of those three really have a shot going into today.
Yeah, I mean, I think the disappointing day for all of them was yesterday, because you look at where Rory and Tiger stood on Saturday,
right,
and the lead was 1 under par with Billy Horschel, and Tiger and Rory sitting right there at 3 over par, just 4 shots off the lead. And I said before Tiger's round yesterday that, just as I said before about defensive golf, I said, if I'm Tiger Woods, I'm going out there and I'm trying to shoot even par today. I think that if he would have still been standing at 3 over par, as going into today's round, 4 shots off the lead, and you're able to go out there and do maybe what Webb Simpson did on Sunday and post, you know, 2 under 68, something like that, then you might find yourself right there in the mix at the end of the day around 7 or 8 o'clock. And instead, you know, Tiger backed up. And that's why I look at, like, what Phil did versus what Tiger did. Phil took that driver out of the bag.
Oh, absolutely. That was the smartest thing I've ever seen. Hey, CJ, can you stay on for another segment?
Sure.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. Chris Johnson's on the line. Roy Edwards here. Matt on the Box will be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here at News Talk 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We have CJ Chris Johnson of the 19th Hole here with us talking some U.S. Open.
Chris, talk to me real quick about who your dark horse is today. I know you got a dark horse, and I know you got who you think's going to win.
A dark horse, you got to look at someone that three shots are back, or someone that made a move like Webb Simpson. I mean, the only guy that I could say would be a true dark horse today is someone like Ricky Fowler, who's played a solid tournament except for a few holes on Friday.
And I'd love really to see him win it.
Yeah. I really thought his 67 yesterday was underappreciated. I don't think it got the pub that it deserved yesterday.
Jesus, that's an incredible
score. This is a talented kid who's also... He might have that, he's a young guy who he might have that sort of swashbuckler's attitude to go out there and go after some of these pins. And who knows, if he can throw another 67 on the board, that leaves him, he starts the day at 3 over par, that leaves him at even. You could see even certainly win the tournament here. So if you're looking for a dark horse, I'd look for, a guy like Fowler. But the rest of those guys that are bunched up there, like I said earlier, I'm going to take Mahan playing in that last group with Mickelson, one shot back. I just think he's going to be solid tee to green all day. And as I said, he's been putting better than anybody in this tournament. So I think he's due. You're talking about a guy who's won against the best in the world twice before. He's won two World Golf Championships, one in match play, and one at Firestone, two great courses in competitions. He was just lost to Matt Kuchar earlier this year in the finals of the match play as well. So a solid guy who, I think also it's something to prove when he was left off the Ryder Cup team in favor of Tim Furyk and Steve Stricker by Davis Love III this past year.
Yeah, Furyk had a real sad round first two days. He didn't play well at all. There were a lot of really good golfers that didn't make the cut. I mean, there were at least a dozen top, probably 100 golfers in the world that weren't anywhere near the cut line. And well, to me, that just told me how hard it's playing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look in, you can zero in right on three guys that almost everybody had in their favorites to win, and that was Jim Furyk, Graham McDowell, who certainly won a U.S. Open before and finished second last year, and Zach Johnson. And all three of those guys blew up.
Right.
And even Zach Johnson complained about the executive director of USGA, Mike Davis, and thought that they set up the course and they tricked up the course too much. And you see that every year with the U.S. Open, that there are some guys that they just don't like the setup of the golf course. But everybody had those three guys because of how accurate they are off the tee and how accurate they are with their irons and how good their short games as favorites, and none of them are even around here.
Yeah, Zach struggled big time. Big time. So you're taking Mahan, who's going off even, Roy, is that right?
He's he's even par right now, but he's 50-1 odds. Or he started out 50-1.
Hunter
odds.
Mahan is 50-1. Well, you got a friend.
He was.
What is he now?
50-1 on Wednesday.
Yeah, what is he now?
I don't see.
We're searching. But Mahan sounds like a good pick. How many strokes is he back?
One. Or
one back.
He's in the final group. Now they're going to play twosomes today. Thank God. They got caught up yesterday.
Yeah, twosomes is going to be late. I mean, there's certainly, you look at all of those guys that are right there, just one back or two back, and a guy like Justin Rose and Luke Donald, who could arguably say the two guys who are the best players in the world to not have won a major yet. And then this course is perfect for a guy like Luke Donald, not overly long and, as good of an iron player as there is on tour and a good of a short game and putter. So, those are the guys right there. I think that's the storyline of the day. Is it Phil finally with his chance to win a major tournament, a U.S. Open on Father's Day, his first U.S. Open, or is it time for one of these other guys to get rid of that title of best player in the world to not win a major? And you talk about Rose, and you talk about Donald, and then certainly there's Stricker and Mahan, guys that have been in the top 20 for a long time now who have yet to reach that major championship.
CJ, Mahan's like 7-1. That's a pretty good number for the last group.
You know who
I like besides Ricky Fowler, the guy that may be going off with him? Jason Day. He can play. He shot a 68 yesterday.
Ricky Fowler's 28-1.
Those are the two guys I looked at. Yeah, it's just and Day only three shots back, and it certainly proved that he can go low in major championships. And we saw what he did a few months back at Augusta, and people forget he's got two second-place finishes already in U.S. Open. So people don't remember that because one of them was at Congressional behind Rory McIlroy,
right?
And it was a distant second place,
right?
Because McIlroy blew everybody away, but nonetheless had a second at Congressional that year.
CJ, I can't thank you enough for coming on. We got to have you on more often for golf. We got two majors left to go too. To me, the British Open this year is going to be real interesting. And the PGA. Do you know where the PGA is this year?
Yep, it's at Oak Hill up in Rochester.
That's right. That was where the Ryder Cup was. The first time I went to a Ryder Cup. CJ, yep. Chris Johnson. How can somebody follow you on Twitter, CJ?
It's at CJ's Victory. CJSVICTORY.
Thank you very much, CJ. We'll see you soon. We got to play golf, buddy. It's got to be early in the morning, though. I don't know if I can get you up.
Take care, CJ.
Same to you. For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and to protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. In the sky, just the two of us,
you and I. 5 years old, bringing comedy every time I look at you.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here at News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Yes, we are.
Thanks for CJ of CJ's Victory coming on the 19th hole. But we do have some baseball to talk about. Course.
We got to give you some winners. We can't do Father's Day. If you're going to lay on the couch flipping your, what do you call that thing you use?
I believe it's called a remote control.
Remote control that I'm like an expert with, even though I don't know what it's called.
I got one of those remote controls that controls everything in the house.
You know, you're killing me.
It's pretty awesome.
I don't have one of those.
I got it for Christmas.
All right, let's go over this. Tony Mazur gave us this winner. Strasburg over Kluber. I'm taking the Washington Nationals today to win.
Well, they're the favorite, and I have them as well.
Okay, what are they, like 130 or 150?
123.
All right, that's good. Chicago and the Mets. I'm taking Chicago because I'm pretty sure it's Garza pitching for Chicago.
Yep.
Against any Met right now.
Jeremy Hefner.
Yeah, he's not good, although he had a good outing last time. What's the odds on this?
You'd give the Cubs plus 140.
I'm taking them.
I like the Mets.
Oh, you take the Mets, you loser. Here we go. Peralta and Cueto. Milwaukee, Cincinnati. Got to take Cueto. He drop kicks people.
Yeah.
When they get in a fight, he kicks you.
There's not much to like about the Brewers.
And he hits like a girl, scratches like a girl. But I'm taking him.
I've been off the Brewers ever since all that stuff came out about Braun. There's way too many distractions going on.
All right.
With that franchise.
I told you. We were on Braun 2 years ago. St. Louis and Miami. This is an even match, even though St. Louis is hitting the ball like gangbusters. Ricky Nolasco, maybe the best pitcher in Miami. I'm passing.
He's the only pitcher in Miami.
I'm passing.
I like the Cardinals, but yeah, I wouldn't play
Nolasco, by the way, in his last year of a contract, will be traded before the trading deadline is over. You got Lester Gonzalez. We got a call. We're going to have to come back to baseball in a second. You're on the air. This is Bruce Hall. Hello.
Hello.
Are you there, buddy?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Mook, how are you? This is Marcus
this
Washington
is Mook.
Of the Sports
hey,
Syndicate.
Marcus, how's it going, buddy? Hey, is it a little windy there, buddy?
I think he's reporting from Hurricane Irene here.
I'm trying to get in a better place.
You're trying to get in a better place? Marcus, we're all trying to get in a better place, son. what's going on up there? Who do you think's going to win the tournament today, Marcus? Hell, you've been there all week.
Well, you know, if you ask me who I think is going to win, and I tell you from my heart, I would say it's Hunter Mahan. But I'm looking at either it being Schwartzel, Rose, or Mickelson today. And as you probably figured out, most of this crowd that's here today, they're all hoping that it's Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, everybody is, but we all know what Phil does on the last day. Now, I got to say this. When Amy had cancer, he did win his third Masters with a lot of pressure on him. And everybody wanted him to win there. And I want to say that the fans kind of – Phil has never been the best conditioned golfer on the tour. Wouldn't you agree with me? He generally –
I'll agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, he generally has those man boobs working for him. He doesn't have them today anymore. He looks like he's in shape. He looks like he's been working out. Looks like his arthritis isn't bothering him. I love the fact that he got rid of a driver he can't use and has five wedges. I use three wedges, and people think I'm a freak. Okay, I got a 64, a 60, a 56, and I've got my regular wedge, which is a 52. Phil's carrying five wedges, basically a 5-wood and a 3-wood. Right, that's all he's got. And I don't even think he's got a hybrid. I think that he's still. Does he have a hybrid in his bag?
No, he doesn't. He's not carrying the hybrid. Like you said, he has the 5 wedges, no driver. He's been brilliant this week in the sense that if you look at him from a statistical point of view, he's not blowing you away this week. What he's doing is, even when he's in that dreaded rough, he's getting out of it. He's getting in good places. Phil is doing something now that he didn't do when he was younger. He's actually thinking out and playing the golf course instead of trying to be the guy who makes the shot that, you know, makes the crowd go wild. He's just playing such smart golf this week.
Well, you know, and to his credit, even though, like you said, Mook, he's been like that most of his professional career. Look at how much success he's had anyway. The thing I like about Phil now is, look, when you're playing in 4-inch rough, you need 5 wedges or 4 wedges. Yeah. You know, you because, and I'm going to tell you right now, I know for a fact that Phil can probably take a 52-degree wedge and hit it 180 yards if he needs to. And he probably is. He's probably cutting right through that stuff. I like his chances today. I want to say, what is he, 7-2?
Phil Mickelson, 9-5 on one.
He's
9-5.
He's like 2-1 on there. Your buddy Mahan, Hunter Mahan, we just had a guy who knows a lot about golf pick Mahan. And you picked Mahan.
Yeah, it's back-to-back.
Guess what? I'm picking Mahan, too. If you guys both like him, I'd be stupid not to call my friend in Vegas and talk to him.
And that's 8-1 odds on the Mahan.
You know what? It's 8-1 odds on Mahan now. So it's going down. Schwartzel, hey, the guy's teeth are too ugly to vote for him. He is one of the ugliest human beings I've ever seen in my life. I do like Charles. He's a good golfer. He's got great swing. But you know what? He's won enough over here, don't you think?
No, I do think so. But the golfer who has to really, really regret yesterday has to be Luke Donald.
Yeah.
Luke Donald was right there and until the end. And then what Luke Donald has shown up in so many majors this year, showed up again. He has not really had that good of a season until recently. He had been playing poor, and all the things he's been doing when he's playing poor seemed like he came out those last 4 or 5 holes. And honestly, out of all the guys who was kind of still grew with the leaders, I think that Luke Donald probably has the least amount of chance of winning today. The only thing that worries me about Hunter Mahan, and we saw it in the Ryder Cup a couple of rounds ago, is under pressure, is this short game, is this wedges, is this pitching and you know, chipping and putting, is that going to be there? If that's there, I'm telling you, he has a great chance to win. But if it's not, we're going to see Hunter probably shoot about 4 or 5 over. But, guys, I will tell you this. There is a 67, 68 out there somewhere today. It's just who's going to shoot it. Maybe it's one of the leaders. Maybe it's one of the guys in the middle of the pack. But there's a 67, 68 out there today.
Hey, Mook, what kind of chance does Ricky Fowler have, do you think?
I think it's zero.
What color is he wearing today? Is he wearing tangerine or lime?
I think he's going to go with a traditional Oklahoma State.
Yeah, orange.
Cool color.
He looks like a dreamsicle. Hey, you know what?
The thing about Fowler is, again, yeah. I just don't have too much confidence in him here in the fourth round. I have to see him do it first in a major, in a big spot. I've always referred to him as the Andy Roddick of the PGA. Everyone keeps telling me how great he is. He's going to turn the corner. He's going to be this dominant guy, and he's just going to be Andy Roddick.
Yeah.
That's a good pull.
You know what? The thing about Ricky to me is it seems like he's just not really put anything together from a standpoint of consistency. He'll look great one week and he'll miss a cut the next week.
He hasn't really – exactly what you're saying. He hasn't really reached to where everyone wants him to be or thinks he should be at. He hasn't reached that yet. But, Mook, talking about the putting, you said it came down to short game and putting for whoever you thought was going to pull it away today. But what are the greens looking like out there? How fast are the greens out there? And was the speed of the green or anything like that, was that the reason why we saw people like Tiger Woods, who had been leading the tour in putting, struggle?
Yeah, I think that is. I think the greens, they're trying to get it up to 13 on a step meter. I think they'll get it up there today. The course is pretty much dried out. Tiger did have a lot of problems. If you look at him statistically, he's top 10 in almost every stat coming in today, but 57th in putting. It's the reason why he's not in contention today.
This week,
And going forward, it's going to be the reason why he's not going to be in contention. His short game was dreadful yesterday, and his putting was even worse. The green should be fine. One of the things about this course being so old, when they've redone the greens, when you keep redoing greens, there are going to be bumps in it no matter how much you try to smooth them out. You know, this course is 6,000 years old. It's not going to be perfect. But I don't think the greens are going to be as big of a factor today as they were earlier in the week.
Now, Mook, what are you going to do today? Are you going to hang out like around 18 and watch them all come in, or are you going to like get around the course a little bit and see if you can see some shots?
I'm going to go around. As soon as I get off, I'm going to go back around the course a little bit. I probably won't be at 18 at all today. There's going to be restricted access to 18, so you're going to have to be, you know, one of USGA boys or with the golf channel.
Even on the tee box, though? No.
I'll have access to the tee box. Around the green on 18, it will be restricted access. But I tell you what, all week my favorite hole to camp out at has been 15. After I take a little walk around, I'm going to probably go back over to 15. It's been playing either second or third toughest all week. It's a fun hole. I just can't wait to see who wins this. Like I said, most people are going to look towards Phil. I'm going to kind of look towards Hunter Mahan, hopefully.
Yeah, the thing I've noticed the most about this week, and you know, I coach baseball in the summer, so I haven't been able to watch it live, but I've watched the tape. And I got to tell you, you know, they're teeing off with 5 irons, 6 irons, 4 irons, but they're still missing the damn fairway. You know, I mean, some of these fairways are tilted so drastically that unless you put it in exactly the right spot, you're still going to roll into the primary rough. You know what I mean? And then you're still going to have to hit a really good shot to hit it on the green and hold it, even if it's a 320, 330-yard par 4. You know, to me, as a hacker and a 14 to a 16 handicap, I love watching these guys miss fairways with mid-irons. I mean, it's unbelievable. It just says a lot for the course. It's a shot maker's course, and you got to figure out the putting.
Yeah, and not only is the rough really, really bad, and it is a slanted fairway, until you really get there and you get up close to them, those fairways are tight. And I've been to several courses, PGA tournaments, and, you know, they're all small in a sense compared to what we play on a weekend.
Right.
But this week, I mean, they are so tight. Everyone thought the rain would help, but as the course dried out and they've done a great job, that's going to be a set of people who won't get enough credit this week. The guys up at Marion and the women up at Marion that has to work that course to get in shape, they've done a great job under adverse conditions, especially earlier in the week. And I'm telling you, these guys are having a hard time hitting like you said, with irons, getting it in the fairway or getting it to the proper angle where they want it. Look at poor Sergio yesterday. He's hitting 7 off the tee. I mean, that's something that I would do. You don't expect a PGA Tour player to do.
Yeah, you know what, though? But you know what he can do with a slightly hooded 7-iron? He can hit it 210 yards and hit it almost exactly where he wants to. Hey, I'm so glad you're up there, Mook, and it's great to finally meet you over the air. Hey, let me ask you this. Did you get a chance to follow Tiger at all this week?
I followed him a little bit on Friday. I followed him for about 2 or 3 holes. Once he had already completed his first round, his first round, I went ahead and followed him all the way up to 15, and then I watched several groups come through 15. So, I followed him a little bit, and I will admit to you, I thought that the guys up, especially at being in Philly, I really thought they would be on him, but the gallery has been very, very supportive of Tiger Woods, which, like I said, I kind of caught off guard. He even has been more, I guess for lack of a better word, likable, because he has acknowledged the crowd more than I've ever seen Tiger ever done. He came off a bogey, and he's walking up the fairway, you know, after the next hole, and there he is, the crowd screaming, Tiger, go Tiger, and stuff like that. And instead of just walking and sulking like he frequently does, he tips the cap, he looks over to the crowd, he gives them the biggest smile that he can get. And I thought to myself, wow, we didn't see this out of Tiger 5, 6, 7 years ago. 5, 6, 7 years ago, he would have acted like a jerk walking up, like everyone in the world should feel sorry for him.
Well, he also had a different guy on his bag 5 or 6 years ago. And to be honest with you, Stevie Williams is a jerk anyway. And he might be one of the best he might be one of the best caddies in the world, which he is. There's no question about it. But he's not a likable guy. He's not a nice guy. He kind of makes everybody, you know, feel like they're not supposed to be there watching him.
Yep.
But, you know, but he's got Freddie Couples' old caddy on his bag now. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know, LaCava is the best. He's a great guy. Yep. He's a good player. He knows how to understand. Hey, listen, we're gonna be back in a minute. Roy, did you have something you wanted to ask him?
No.
Well, see, you guys are giving me signals, and they make no sense.
Oh well, we're coming up on the end of the show. We're not gonna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we gotta.
So
let
you're
go.
Worried about that?
No, we gotta let Mook go.
Hey, Mook, thanks for being on, buddy.
Yeah, Marcus.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Anytime. You want to talk golf, boxing, anything else, be sure you give me a call.
Absolutely. And they can follow you on Twitter where, buddy?
They can follow me at Mook Washington.
I love your name, man. That's cool.
All right, Mook. Thanks for coming
Take it
on,
easy,
buddy.
Mook.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank God.
He's great, man. He's great.
I was saying we had to get on. Because,
your face was getting red.
Well, we still got it. We got to finish up these MLB picks
that everybody loves so much. Let's do baseball real quick.
That's right. We got to finish
Boston and Baltimore, I'm passing.
Me too.
The Dodgers at Pittsburgh, I'm taking Garrett Cole, man. He did it to San Francisco. He's going to do it to the Dodgers today.
Anytime Zach Greinke pitches, then I go the other way. So I'll take Pirates.
All right, great. Davison Hernandez, I'm passing on Kansas City, Tampa Bay. I hate both teams.
Me too.
White Sox suck. Houston, even worse, I'm passing.
I like the White Sox. I don't like them enough to pick or as be a top play, but you know I pick every game.
Detroit at Minnesota, I'm passing. Although Fister, they really need a win. They lost to Minnesota yesterday, but I'm passing.
I love Fister every time he pitches.
Well, go for it then. Toronto, you got our old boy Wong pitching for the Blue Jays against Holland. If you're going to take a side here, give the 170 up and take Holland.
Texas Rangers. Timmy Wong, it amazes me that he's still in the league.
Yeah. New York Yankees at Weaver. I'm taking Weaver. He might be the best right-hander in the game right now. I mean, if you look at what he does week in, week out, Sabathia up and down. I'm taking the Angels.
If you're going to tell me you give me the Yankees +1.5 with Sabathia on the mound, I like it. So.
All right. I haven't played against Iwakuma from Seattle all year, but I'm taking Cologne.
Yeah.
The fat boy, Jabba the Hutt. Against Iwakuma.
Me too.
All right, go Arizona, Ace. San Diego. I'm taking San Diego to win their 7th in a row.
I like it.
Philly at Colorado. I'm taking Colorado to beat Hamels again.
Cole Hamels can't get a win. No way.
It's not happening. San Francisco, Atlanta. I'm passing on the game.
Give me San Francisco with Tim Lincecum +1.5.
All right, you got it.
All right. Great show. Happy
Great
Father's
show.
Day.
We'll see you later. Happy Father's Day to all those fathers out there. We'll see you next week on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. No. You let me.
your mind.